Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Chisel AI Podcast. Today on our show, we're here with Abel Travis, who is a Vice President of Underwriting and Innovation at AF Group and host of Insurance Innovators Unscripted Podcast. Abel, thank you so much for joining us today. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Ron, thank you. It's definitely a pleasure to talk to you just about the topic that we're going to speak about today. So myself, as you mentioned, and thanks for the introduction, I'm the Vice President of Underwriting and Innovation for a company called AF Group. We are a multi-line carrier located in Lansing, Michigan, who specializes in workers' compensation. But of course, that's not all we do. We also do a lot of other lines with our commercial auto trucking launch that we did last year in 2018, and also other multi-lines of business with casualty property that we've been rolling out through our AF specialty brand. So that's me and AF Group in a nutshell.
Awesome. Thank you. You're probably aware, and as our listeners are probably aware, the insurance industry is currently being confronted with many challenges. New market entrants, disruption both within the industry and from outside the industry, customers demanding more digital experiences and faster than ever responses, and competitive pressures are just coming at the industry faster than ever before. And so many companies are trying to understand technology and whether they should be afraid or whether they should look at this as an opportunity for them to be innovative. So I'd love to get your thoughts on how insurance companies know that it's the right time to embrace change. What are some of those signs and motivators for change?
Yeah, Ron, that is an absolute great question. And, I think as you look at what's been playing out and what's happening in the industry, we know today that it is absolutely a sign to embrace change, especially with a lot of the insurtechs and transformational elements of what's occurring across the value chain starting to peek through. You know, as we look at the insurance industry, what I always tell folks is that, hey, we're an industry that's been unscathed by innovation for quite some time up until a few years ago, right? Not only are we changing within this industry based on what we're seeing play out here, but we're being influenced by industries that have absolutely nothing to do with insurance. So when you think customer expectations and what we're seeing from a customer expectation perspective, you know, customers are now expecting services that they would get with, let's say, in the retail environment from organizations like an Amazon, or when you think customer experience that they would get from a company like an Apple, right, where they're so used to that experience, and those retail and manufacturing and other types of organizations are changing the customer expectation, that when they come to engage with an insurance carrier, that expectation follows along with wanting that same experience from an insurance company. You know, so I look at organizations like a Lemonade, for example, where, let's say I'm a millennial and my first entry into getting insurance coverage for my home or for my apartment is through Lemonade, where I can quickly go online and quickly search, through my mobile phone and get insurance coverage within 30 seconds to a minute, right? That's my first experience with insurance. So then when I become a business owner, my expectation is going to be that, hey, getting my commercial and business insurance might feel very similar to organizations like Lemonade, right? So when you look at the industry, what's driving the view of, hey, we need to embrace innovation and transform, is really is customer expectation. The speed at which technology has been transforming and is being adopted in this segment. And then the experience that you want to make sure that you're giving to your customers so you can serve them in an effective way.
I'm curious to hear the inverse, which is, are there any parts of the business which you think should remain the way they are for whatever reason that may be?
Yeah, that's definitely a really good question, right? And Ron, I got to tell you, as I look across the entire insurance value chain, because a lot of elements of the insurance value chain hasn't really been touched, I actually believe that there's opportunity to innovate and transform all areas of the value chain, right? So if you look at claims as an example, and I'll use a personal lines example, even in my history, actually just a few weeks ago, I actually got into a pretty bad car accident, right? And when I got into that car accident, you know, there I drive a BMW. I drove a BMW, and the first thing that came over my speakers in the car was somebody from BMW saying, "Hey, Mr. Travis, we see that your airbag's deployed. Are you okay?" Right? And when I looked at that particular experience, it astounded me, because I'm thinking, okay, well, wow. You know, this is a service that I didn't even know I had until I got into the accident. Unfortunately, you don't want to have to activate that particular service. But when I got into the accident, I realized that, hey, BMW was on my side. And that was an experience that would keep me as a customer for BMW for the long term, because I know that they were helping to try to get me back whole and make sure that I'm okay, and dispatch, let's say, the services in the event that I needed an ambulance or something like that, right? And, you know, so I look at things like that and I'm like, wow, you know, while the industry performs claim services well today, imagine if we could deploy a capability very similarly to elements of the insurance value chain that shows the customers that we're serving that we're here for them at any given point in time during the point of a claim. So it's things like, you know, when you look at the claims view, like vision analytics, for example, where if I get into a car accident, I can pick up my mobile phone, take a picture, and send that snap photo over to, you know, my insurance carrier, and then get an adjustment done really quickly, so I can be made whole and potentially get that vehicle repaired without having to wait, you know, weeks or even months, which is what it's been taken historically for some of the incumbent insurance carriers, right? So that's somewhat of a back office operation. But even on the back office, when you think about things like policy administration systems and point of sale systems, and you know, even to the point of a mailroom, for example, where, you know, insurance carriers receive, you know, hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of pieces of mail, depending on who you are, where there could be opportunities to innovate that element of the value chain through leveraging OCR or AI and natural language understanding to help to synthesize the information that's coming in and make it easier for the folks that are performing those back-end functions, right? So, you know, when I look across the entire insurance value chain, to me, what it's screaming is that, hey, while there are some things that could stay the same, if we really want to become effective at serving the needs as to what we're doing, and that is paying claims, we truly have to look at the entire insurance value chain and determine where we can innovate to help to make this a much more efficient industry.
And it makes me, so, you know, props and kudos to BMW for doing that. That is an amazing customer service that they have in their cars. And it makes me think how with IoT and sort of the interconnected device economy that's coming, you know, if car manufacturers had partnerships with car companies, potentially they could give them the data right away and save a lot of time creating that first notice of loss. They could assess the damage literally within seconds of the collision happening potentially and just simplify that process for everybody. So it makes me hopeful and pretty excited for what potentially could be coming in the next several years.
Absolutely. And, you know, and I actually don't think it's that far off, right? You know, people love to hate on Elon Musk, right? Just given his huge ambitions, not only in insurance, but in so many different areas of industries that are looking to be innovated, from, you know, solar cells and batteries all the way through to Hyperloop and so on, right? But the one thing that he gets is, you know, what drives a customer to want to stay with an organization based on the experience that they're getting from any given organization, right? So, you know, people, you know, really scream from the mountaintops that, hey, you know, Elon Musk, he doesn't know what he's getting into when he's coming into the insurance space, but he's working to, or Tesla, as the organization is working to partner with insurance companies like Liberty Mutual and, you know, and other insurance companies globally to provide services that look and feel just like that. So, in the event that there is an accident, not only to try to mitigate the potential of the accident from occurring, but if it actually occurs, try to get the right services and things in place to either bring you back whole or to fit you with a new vehicle or a new car. You know, so it's I truly believe that that capability is one that's probably not too far off.
So it's interesting because change can be a little scary, and this obviously is a big change from some of the way that we do things today. What do you think are some best practices that companies can adopt to manage that change effectively across the business units and make sure that they include all the different parts of that value chain that you're talking about?
Yeah, no, that's a really good question. And that's something that organizations that are looking to transform and innovate face day in and day out, right? I think first and foremost, a best practice, and it even stems beyond just the change, but it is to make sure that when an organization is changing, that the buy-in is coming from the top, right? From the CEO down into the rest of the organization. Because there are folks that really buy into having an understanding that, hey, my leaders are saying that these things should happen. So they're absolutely going to buy into that, given the fact that the leaders are driving the message around change and innovation. Right? You know, I think that's the first best practice that I would say every organization needs to have. Otherwise, if it's coming from someone within the ranks, they might not have the same level of respect that some of the leaders of an organization have. And by the way, the leaders also have the ability to influence the rest of the enterprise around, change, innovation, and those sorts of things, right? So that's first. I think the other thing, though, that's critical is, I don't believe that innovation, transformation is something that can happen in a vacuum, right? So what you absolutely have to do is, if you want the business to buy into the change that you're hoping to, put into the rest of the enterprise, then you have to make sure that the business is on board and a part of the process as to what you're looking to change and innovate. So, you hear a lot about organizations that are going through digital transformation. And, the biggest limited factor in being able to successfully transform digitally isn't the technology, but it's the culture. And if the members of the business that's going to be deploying the capabilities and using and leveraging the capabilities on a day in and day out basis don't buy into this, then it's going to be so difficult to be able to change the culture for the rest of the enterprise to onboard a digital transformation, right? So, you have to have the buy-in from the CEO and from the top down. You have to engage the business. And then also, I think the last best practice is to make sure that there is an actual change management plan in place, right? Because you could say, hey, we're going to do all of these things and, we're going to take on board a lot of the new capabilities and technologies and business models and whatever it might be, but if you're going in it haphazard without a real plan in place, then there's no guarantee that you're going to see success coming out of it, right? Organizations should make sure that they have a plan in place, whether it looks like, having a change management team that's working to help, work through the change that you're looking to impart to the rest of the organization, or a written plan that's helping that organization to drive the change within all of the ranks throughout the enterprise. I think those are really three best practices to take on board.
I love that one. The one about the CEO buy-in, I think, is key, because we see a lot, and we talk a little bit about this on your podcast, innovation for the sake of innovation. That often happens when, it's just an executive saying, oh, go and do innovation without really meaning to commit to it from a business sense. I'm curious on that third point, if people want to be practical, and we get this question a lot when we work with our partners, who should be the right person inside that organization to manage it? Is it the business owner? Is it a project management person? Is it a product person? Because it's about culture, and I think it's hard to put a box and be able to define culture. But I'd love to hear the thoughts in terms of as practical as you can be for how people can get those, what we call, game changers or cultural movers to step up and really move the needle.
Yeah, that's great, right? Because, personally, I actually believe that everyone owns the culture within an organization, right? And when I say everyone, even if it's a business initiative that we're working through to try to change and you create innovation to innovate, if we use digital transformation as the example again, while people are saying, well, hey, digital transformation feels like a technology initiative. Really, it's not a technology initiative. It's a business initiative that's impacting the entire culture. So you have to have change agents, not just with one owner for all of digital transformation, but because, you know, again, using that example, that's something that's going to have implications to folks all across the enterprise. You have to actually have change agents in each one of the different areas within the enterprise. So there's the necessary to have a business change agent, a technology change agent. If it's an insurance organization that has an actuarial team on site, you know, someone within the actuarial organization that's leading the change from the perspective of the and that's taking the vantage point of the perspective of an actuarial team, so on and so forth. I mean, you can keep going on with the operational organization, your corporate underwriting and product management, and so on, right? In terms of owning that the element of what change looks like and feels like within an organization. Now, with that said, I know, you know, the way agile processes work and business processes work, and people are like, well, you know, even with that said, we still need one individual and one person. And I think maybe from a coordination perspective, that could be a product owner from the business, right? To ensure that there's then the integration and the communication and working relationships with all of the different change agents across the enterprise. You know, so that way then that's in place. So then the culture could be influenced to take on that change that we're trying to invent.
I love that. I think, you know, it's everybody's, to your point, it's everybody's duty, especially true at a startup, of course. Culture is the way we define culture is the way we do everyday common tasks and the way we approach them. And so you have to really live it. And it's more than just a set of values that you throw down and sort of never look at again. It's something that you have to embody and live by. Now, a big piece of that, I think, is communication. And so what are some effective communication methods and what roles play a big part in getting that effectively communicated across the organization?
Yeah, you know, I think it really depends on the organization that you're in, right? Effective communication. So there's a lot of different organizations that communicate in ways that are more conducive to how their staff and how the individual employees are used to being communicated to, right? So, you know, what I would say is, number one, it depends on how the organization is used to being communicated. But even within any one organization, there are so many different communication styles in which folks would potentially on board based on their own particular style. You know, so if you're an enterprise, let's say that has, you know, staff domestically and staff globally, you know, first and foremost, you have to use a means that's really going to get it out there, get folks excited. You know, I always say things like video, of course, works, as well as, you know, ensuring that you're sending collateral through emails and those sorts of things, right? But the one and most effective tool that I've seen work when it comes to innovation is putting or giving individuals the opportunity to be hands-on with what that innovation is and communicating it in a way that shows, how does this impact me directly, right? Because as an employee, you're always wondering, hey, okay, wow, you know, this thing is coming along, this innovation is happening, but what is it going to mean for me? What is it going to mean for my role? So if we're talking digital transformation and if we're talking an employee in the service center, you know, that's used to, you know, opening envelopes and taking out checks and scanning them to go through the process in order to be paid and so on, right? If you're digitally transforming that part of the process, you know, to tell that particular employee, this is what's going to change as a part of your role. This is how we're going to help make your role more effective and, you know, gain some more efficiency so you can focus on the things that are even more important. And then physically show them that this is how it's going to work. Then all of a sudden you're getting an employee that's saying, wow, okay, now I know how that's going to affect me. And now I know how I should embody this change. So then I can become a change agent at the desk level, right? But without having to be labeled a change agent. But I've always found that, you know, if you could message things in a way, communicate it in a way that shows directly how it's going to impact an employee, and then, you know, show them, you know, hands-on as to this is what it really means, then that always helped to make the change even more effective that we were trying to, you know, convey throughout the organization.
I think that's a very hands-on approach, and I think it's something that people can really take action on. Another one that I've seen work, and I'm trying to remember the exact name of it, but it's something that Zurich Insurance does, and I believe they've done three cohorts and potentially even more at this point, where they look within their organization for people to come up with ideas about ways to improve their lives. And these ideas then get brought up sort of to a committee who will do a review and identify which ones they can take action on in the short term and medium term and long term. And then they actually put together the resources necessary to fulfill on that vision. And so I think that method of sort of like a suggestion box is the way that I would put it. Obviously, it's digital and they have a interesting user experience around it, and it's something that they highly encourage within their organization. But I think it's a very practical approach as well to solicit people internally to contribute to the direction and to the way that things can be improved, and really allow them to feel a sense of ownership and autonomy. As most people who have read business books will know, you know, autonomous employees is the happiest employee, and people who have a sense of ownership also usually deliver the best quality work. And so getting people to feel like they have control over where the company is headed and where it invests its resources. And obviously, this is only a small part of the resources that they put to the side. And I would sort of maybe call it like Google's 20% time, where 80% of the resources are dedicated to their traditional objectives. And 20% is dedicated to improving the business based on employee suggestions. And I think that's another approach that I personally am a big fan of, and I've seen work for companies. Of course, to your point, you have to try what works for your company, but it's just another tool that people can use and have in their toolbox for when the time is right.
Yeah, you know, and Ron, you know, just to give an example of what I did. So when I joined the organization here, the first thing that I made sure to do is, you know, figure out how do we make sure that we change the culture across the enterprise? And then how do we, you know, solicit ideas from the folks throughout the enterprise as well, so then we can shape our strategy based on where the company feels the strategy needs to go to, right? Thereby people feeling that sense of ownership that you talked about. So we set up a handful of councils, both internally and externally, you know, an external innovation council to get that same level of feedback from our closest partners and our agents, right? So the agents can feel a part of it. But then also an internal innovation council that's comprised of individuals from all across the company in different departments and so on, in order to solicit that same level of feedback from those individuals as well, so they can also feel a part of the decision making and a part of the strategic elements of where the organization is going. You know, with that said, you know, we also designed and developed actually a homegrown tool called the Idea Pipeline, that because we can't touch everyone at every given point in time to solicit their feedback directly. You know, so we're leveraging a tool that we've built called the Idea Pipeline to electronically, you know, solicit that information so people could input the information into the particular tool. We could determine what the themes are that's coming out of the insights that folks are you know, putting into the tool. And then we could apply it to strategically, okay, what are the things that we're going to go after and target next, you know, to help to innovate and transform our organizations. Now, the one caveat that I always throw out there in that approach, and again, this is something, you know, folks can walk away with, is that you have to be sure to communicate what's going on with the ideas that are coming in if you're soliciting information from people. Because if they see that you're not doing much of anything with the idea that they put out there, then they might wind up disengaging from the idea generation and the innovation process. But if you can show them longer term, okay, well, hey, you had a good idea and this is how it's going to be used, and continue that method, then you can keep a high level of engagement.
I think that last point is just needs to be emphasized, because I've seen the same thing at many organizations as well, where people are very eager to sometimes give feedback. And as a business, you can't always move the ball as fast as you'd like. And especially the bigger the organization, sometimes the more change management that needs to happen to get the action taken required to implement that idea to its full mission. And so I think it's very, very important to communicate where in the process that idea is, and make sure that the people who give the ideas have visibility into how they're progressing in the organization, as well as other people can see that when advice is given or ideas are provided, that they're taken action upon. And I think it's a very, very difficult thing to get right, especially the bigger the organization.
Agreed.
So as we wrap up, if you had to give one piece of advice to leave our listeners with regarding the wave of insurance innovation, what would that be?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, I think, you know, the advice that I would give people is, you know, be open to change, right? The reason why I give that advice is, and you know, there are, when you work for a large organization, even when you work for a startup, right? You know, I tell people all the time, you know, there are the things that got the organization to where it is today isn't going to work 3, 4, 5 years from now, right? You know, because there are market influences, there are influences that you have absolutely no control over, meaning that you may have to continuously shift your strategies in order to be successful at what you're doing. So I always tell folks that, you know, you absolutely have to be open to change, because, you know, if you're open to change, you're going to sort of open your perspective as to, okay, hey, maybe doing something different from the status quo will help to drive an even better answer than what I originally thought we were going to get based on what I've done historically. And with that said, you do need your steady eddies in an organization, right? You need the people that are going to be there and that's going to help to run the business and service the business and so on. But you also need to continue to have those folks that are always looking towards, okay, well, what are the external and internal market influences that's going to impact my organization? And how can we be open to changing in a way that's going to help us to better service our customers and the needs of our customers with those market influences that's impacting the company? You know, it really is being open to change, because in most instances, you know, again, 5, 10 years from now, the status quo isn't going to be enough to change growth.
I think that's exactly right. I remember seeing a famous caricature and cartoon that says, "Who wants change?" Everybody's hands go up in the crowd. Who wants change? Everybody's hands go down. And it's very, very hard to, people always want change, and it's very hard to, and they never want to change because change is scary. And so being open to change, I love that. I don't think it's possible for everybody to be open to change, to your point. You do need some steady eddies. You need some people who will keep the business going while innovation happens, because it's impossible to stop your business. And I think that it's something that both large organizations and startups often face, is this struggle between, you know, status quo, and we need to pay our bills at the end of the month, and we need to service our customers, and we need to provide excellent service. And hey, we want to invest some time and resources into some innovation. And it's not possible to just take all of our existing resources and throw it into that new innovation. That just wouldn't work, unfortunately. And so I think being open to change is something that is relatively rare to find. It's something that should be highly valued. And when you find those people, you have to hold on to them and you have to support them, because it's going to be an uphill battle for them and for everybody involved in that change. And so providing support and being there not just for them, but also for the people who are keeping the status quo and keeping the business going through this change is critical. And it's something that I, as a CEO, and I hope other CEOs take as one of the main aspects of their job, is to be there for their people and to lead through empathy and support rather than through an iron fist.
Absolutely.
And so, coming to a close, thank you so much for coming on this podcast with us. Really appreciate your insights. Is there any parting thoughts? Where should people follow up with you? Where can they find your podcast? Let us know.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Thank you. So I'm very active on socials, more specifically LinkedIn. So if folks want to follow me or connect with me on LinkedIn, I'm always happy to to be connected there. And I always, you know, respond to folks that send me messages. Also, you know, another way to get connected with me and just to hear about a lot of the innovations and transformations that's happening in this industry, I mean, frankly, in other industries, is podcast, the Insurance Innovators Unscripted Podcast. You know, so folks can go to wherever they listen to podcasts, Stitcher, Apple, iTunes, Google Play, whatever it might be, and then you can find me there.
Thank you so much for joining us. You can find Able, as you mentioned, ABELTRAVIS on LinkedIn. You can find myself, Ron Glosman. Please check out chisel.ai, the AF group, as well as the Insurance Innovators Podcast, Unscripted. Thank you.